Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
All that needs to be said, good Wednesday morning is, fellas, let's cut right to the chase.
I can wave.
Key is done. In one way, Key is done. Not with this show.
And Jay soon to be.
Jay soon to be as well.
We'll divulge later at another time.
Yes. Great dads on both sides.
Yes.
Great dads.
Oh,
Zubin, holiday
on.
Time.
You're fire today.
Yes,
Zubin.
Holiday time.
Fire today.
Oh, man, holiday time. It's just, you know, I reflect all the time about the holiday season. You know, I lost my mom back in 2011. But it's like every time holiday come around, I try to figure out how to make some of her stuff. It never come out. It's like, yeah, got to throw it away. I just wasted all this money on these damn greens because I can't make greens to save my life.
Yeah,
I don't. They either come out too crunchy or too soggy. I never could get them right. And I know how to cook, I think, but I can't. That's one thing I cannot touch. My mom, perfection. Perfection.
That's my mom on the greens.
I will not eat anybody else's greens unless they're like my sister's, because my sister cooks it exactly like my mom.
Learned
speaking
from
of moms, yeah. big shout out to your mom. I know that you dealt with that, Key. My mom actually is having crazy procedure last night in the hospital. So big shout out to Mama Will. This time of the year always gets tough. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. It
gets tough, man. You can't spend it with family with everything we got going on.
Especially right now, because I was scheduled to go to travel to go spend time with my family on the West Coast, but then obviously couldn't do it. Couldn't do it.
Right. Travel restrictions around the country. So, you know, one more day on Zoom to say hi to the family, as if you're already not using Zoom enough. It's great to have you fellas here. Happy early Thanksgiving to everybody. We'll have three football games tomorrow in the NFL. But in college football, it sounds strange to say, because, guys, there's no fatigue talking about Alabama or Clemson, because if you want to talk about college football, within about 2 minutes, you have to go there because they've dominated the sport here.
But it is fatigue for me.
But like, it is for you. Why?
I'm just tired. Like, because it's almost like I know what's getting ready to happen. Like, I understand Clemson lost to Notre Dame. You could argue Trevor Lawrence didn't play, and DJU played really well, and they had a chance to win the game in the end, and all of those sort of things.
Sure.
But I already know if they play them again, and Trevor Lawrence is there, and it's on neutral ground, it's going to be a little bit different, I believe, especially, you know, if Notre Dame get out of the weeds against North Carolina this weekend.
Yep, that's a big game Friday on ABC. But,
and I already kind of know what Steve Sarkisian and Alabama and Nick Saban is going to dial up against whoever they play. I understand that Ole Miss scored a lot of points on their defense, but remember, Lane Kiffin is the coach. He understands the thought process of both of those guys, Nick Saban and Steve Sarkisian, who's calling plays. He's been around them. So I'm not, like, looking at the defense and going, oh, my God, he gave up all those points, 90-some points in three games. Well, more than half of them came against Ole Miss. So it's like, I know that Alabama's going to be there. I know it. It's like the Georgia game. I knew they would beat them.
It's like a John Wick movie. I'm like, oh, there goes Keanu Reeves at the end. He's going to have his dog, and they're going to walk away.
That's why I'm fatigued.
The fatigue for Clemson is different because they have been every bit as dominant as Alabama has been essentially since the playoffs started. They've gotten the best of them in a national title game. They handed Nick Saban the worst loss he's ever had at Alabama when Trevor burst onto the scene and won that national championship in 2018. However, Dabo, some people are fatigued with Dabo for a different reason.
Jay Will.
I am.
And if you missed this story, real quick, Dabo will not let it die. Over the weekend, Clemson was set to play Florida State. Florida State didn't want to play the game because Clemson had one player test positive on a Friday. And essentially the ACC, instead of saying, it was Paul Feinbaum who was with us a few days ago, instead of them just laying down the law and saying, here's the decision for the conference, we're going to make it for you, they left it up to the two teams. They could not come to an agreement. Dabo essentially said, the reason you don't want to play us is because you're scared of us. You're using the coronavirus as an excuse. Florida State fired back and said, we'll play you in December, just not now because of the COVID test. Mike Norvell, Florida State's first-year coach, then told Sweeney, hey, we're football coaches, not doctors. Why don't you stay in your lane, bro? And then Dabo essentially said, hey, look, if you don't want to play this game, we're here. We're ready to go. The protocols have been met. It should be a forfeit, and we should have the game. Listen to this from Sweeney.
Y'all don't listen. I didn't say they wanted to forfeit the game. I said it should be a forfeit. I didn't say they wanted to forfeit the game. Big difference. I said it should be a forfeit because we met the standard to play, and we even offered to play Saturday, Sunday, Monday. So in my opinion, we did everything we could. Our medical group was 1,000% on board with playing the game. So, you know, and again, I felt like, you know, I trust our people here. I have no reason not to. They've done an amazing job. Amazing job. So I didn't say they – I said they. It should be a forfeit. I didn't say they wanted to forfeit. Big difference.
Whether it was should or they wanted to or whatever the case is, Dabo Swinney's not a doctor. And I'm listening to Florida State's doctors if I'm Florida State's head coach and I'm Florida State's athletic director, president of school. I understand Clemson got great doctors. I get that. You deal with that over there with your people. I'll deal with it over here with mine because the health is more important. I understand you want to play on Monday and Sunday and Tuesday and Wednesday and you're a football coach and this is what you prepare for all week long and you took the buses down there and you wanted to do it. So damn what? The health is more important right now. It just is. And Dabo, you know, he's just talking, man. Dabo's just talking.
This is why I get frustrated. It's a very myopic approach, right? Obviously, we're dealing with so much more than just football. And to be aware of that as a coach, when you're aware of other things that your kids are dealing with, I understand that you took out all these resources, $300,000 that we learned a term of, and you said, all right, big football, big money. I get it.
How
spending a lot of money to get down.
How much money have they made, Jay, in the last several years playing in these final four games and these bowl games? Since Dabo's taken over, I wish I knew the numbers, and I should have thought of this. Since he took over, they've gone crazy in the bowl circuit of January bowls in the Final Fours. How much money have that university collected?
They have one of the nicest facilities in the country, and that's the best way to tell how much money you're bringing in because in most cases, as you guys know as college athletes, when you bring in the money, you got to spend it or the school's going to want it back, and they have a glimmering palace out there.
Here's my thing, though, ready? Hypothetically, even if a school did use COVID as an excuse to not play you, right? Even if they did, why would you ever say that? Why would you ever propose something like that? Like, you can't use what's happening to the death of so many people in a very polarizing subject matter and then try to say, use it to your advantage. I just don't understand the reasoning behind that, Key. Like, I get lost with that. Like, you just keep doing what you're doing, man. You're winning. So you're 7-1 as opposed to 8-1. Like, what's 8-1 going to do? Like, it gives you another week of reps?
Especially against a Florida State team that they probably are favored by 50 points or something against, right? Florida State's not a good football team this year, so you want to beat up on Florida State. I get it. It's part of recruiting. It's part of all those sort of things. Dabo missed the mark on this one. That's all. He just missed the mark. And I know some people that are Clemson fans that may listen to our show is telling me right now to shut up. You don't know what you're talking about. I get it.
I feel like Dabo's missed the mark a couple of times.
Well, I'm just talking about this one in particular because this is the subject matter.
It just feels like there is a history of Dabo saying things. And look, Dabo's one of the best coaches there is in the game. I think everybody recognizes that. I think sometimes, though, Dabo's ego gets the best of him I hear him talk sometimes.
Yeah, that's
all I'm saying.
Certainly has risen to the occasion of recent years of winning championships and being the $10 million guy. So I'm sure his ego has gotten away. And most of us, when we get to a certain level, we feel a certain way about who we are. And I'm sure he feels that I am at the top of the pinnacle of college football. And I'm going to say what I want to say and do what I want to do, and you're not going to say anything or do anything about it.
To Jay's point, he had just that humble roots. He was the wide receivers coach. He hung on. He got an opportunity, made the most of it, and because of that, it was sort of a lovable story. But to your point, sometimes when these sort of comments come out, it starts to chip away at a great veneer he has really put
forth.
Exactly.
And he's done a good job. He's done a great job at the kids that he's recruited in the areas that he was recruited in to win the football games and guys graduating and education and all that. He's done a terrific job of that. Just much like you say, Jay, sometimes you let some things get in the way and people form a certain opinion about you and it stains you and you may not be able to get rid of that when it's there.
And this is all I'm saying, Zubin, and my last comment on this. I'm all about complexity when you look at life, right? It's not this or that. Like, I'm not chopping Dabo Swinney down. It's like, he's a bad person. He's a good person. I think he has a good heart. I think he's a great coach, an incredible coach. And I also think there's some issues with sometimes he pops off the mouth a little bit. Two things can both be true at the same time.
I can't believe you used popped off at the mouth. I haven't heard that in a long time.
You know, this is like when you start getting close to fighting words. What, you going to pop off the mouth?
Pop off the mouth?
I don't know if I've ever used that one, Alan. Pop off at the mouth.
Now you go snack, crackle, pop.
That's your East Coast thing. Yeah, snack, crackle, pop.
Snack, crackle. I never heard that either.
Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, brought to you by Shell. Get more time to listen to our show by going to Shell and getting three things done at once. First, fill up with Shell V-Power Nitro Plus, then save up with the Fuel Rewards program. Finally, snack up to save even more at the pump. Make the most of the stop you need to make. with Shell. We've got a little breaking NFL news for you. Here it is. The Jags have decided to pass on Minshew Mania and the Jake Luton era. Hope you enjoyed it. You probably blinked and missed it. The Jags are now going to be starting Mike Glennon this week in their game. That's according to Adam Schefter. Mike Glennon. It's another one the Bears could have used, right?
No, they tried that. It didn't work out. They benched him and went with Mitch Trubisky.
It's fair you say that. The craziest part, Glennon got benched in 2017 for Trubisky, as Key just said, who got benched this year, of course, for Nick Foles. Foles, of course, got benched for Gardner Minshew, mm-hmm. who, of course, got replaced by Jake Luton, who is now benched in favor of Mike Glennon. So it all comes together.
Just think about all those think about the quarterbacks you're talking about, though. Just look at those names. Okay. Trubisky.
Who? What?
Right. Glennon. It's like Minshew, Mania. Minshew was on fire, though. He had the mustache going. We were running little skits about him on ESPN. He was rolling. He just couldn't capitalize on it.
Want to give Mark Long, I believe, Evan, of the Associated Press, am I right about that? Mark Long, a shout-out from the Associated Press that helped put all those quarterback dominoes together. Great job there by Mark. But it just goes to show what a mess the Bears, the Jags, and all these teams that don't have quarterbacks are. If you don't have one, you are absolutely reeling. Let's go from A to Z.
From San Francisco to Atlanta and everywhere in between, from A to Z.
Ah, yes, Atlanta, the ATL. The Hawks have signed Bogdan Bogdanovich. The Kings declined to match the offer sheet. Now, if you're thinking, what in the world is happening with Bogdan Bogdanovich? You're not alone. The Kings had 48 hours to match the Hawks' four-year, $72 million offer for him. He was a restricted free agent. Sacramento said, no thanks. So, Jay Bogdanovich now joins a Hawks team. Pretty aggressive here in free agency. They added Gallinari, Danilo Gallinari, on a $65 million deal. Rajon Rondo, who was so great in the playoffs for Keys Lakers. They might be turning the corner a little bit here, huh?
They're going to be a playoff team. I mean, they've had maybe one of the best off seasons, this whole year. I mean, look, Danilo Gallinari is a guy averaging 19 points per game. He was huge for OKC. You look at Trae Young, how explosive he is as a scorer. You get Rajon Rondo from the Lakers to kind of help Trae Young on his way. You add in Bogdanovich, Travis Link, the GM, probably overpaid for Bogdanovich, but that's okay because they had cap space to go out and do that. I like the makings of this team. The question is, what do they do? What does John Collins do, who will be a free agent or get an extension? You know, that's going to be a major question following him going forward.
Nothing there.
I don't have anything.
We should mention Travis Schlenk used to be a front office guy with the Warriors, so he's really trying to build the Hawks in the mold of, I don't know, if we can get a guy that could shoot the lights out like Steph. And they got Trae Young. And they're thinking maybe
that's
the
way. And that was a controversial thing because they took Trae Young over Luka Doncic.
Right. How does that look at the moment, right? All right, here we go. Key, you got to get in on this one. Okay, this is right up your alley.
I was going to get in, but I just let Jay handle it. He got all the, he's the guy.
Well, dribble handoff.
I don't have to get in on everything.
I want you to get in on this, both of you on this one. This is big. Peyton Manning, Charles Woodson, Calvin Johnson, among the Hall of Fame semi-finalists, Jared Allen also in that mix. These are first-year eligible players to make the list of 25 semifinalists. And then obviously we're going to pare that down and we'll find out on Super Bowl weekend who will be the latest class for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I think we obviously know Peyton Manning is in, Charles Woodson is. Calvin Johnson is going to get in. But the question, Key, your position, Megatron, wideout, is Johnson a first ballot Hall of Famer like you would imagine Peyton and Charles Woodson would be?
Both of those guys have won Super Bowls. And I really don't know the criteria with guys getting in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Like, I don't really follow it like that. It's one of those deals where it's like, I think they're Hall of Famers, but whoever the writers are or journalists or whoever make their decisions think of things differently. I think Calvin Johnson is certainly a Hall of Famer. Now, whether or not he's a first ballot or a 10 ballot or whatever, I just know people like Isaac Bruce that I thought was a Hall of Famer had to wait a long time. Chris Carter, a long time. Torrey Holt has been waiting.
All wide receivers.
Yeah, so but when Key, you think Key, about the wide he, receiver logjam, it's like, I don't really know.
If Keyshawn had his own Hall of Fame, would Calvin Johnson be a first ballot?
I don't know that he would be a first ballot. Because then I would start to have to look at, did he win playoff games? How many playoff games did he play in?
Barely
has he won
any.
A championship?
Not his fault.
He's in a passing air. They throw the ball a lot in Detroit. I started to do all of that. Was he the best wide receiver of his 10 years that he played in a national, or 9 years that he played in a national football. Probably so. If he was on a better team, could he carry that team to a championship? Probably so. So you start to dive into all of those sort of things. I think he gets in. I just don't know if he gets in tomorrow or he has to wait till the next day. I just don't know.
How much of it simply comes down to?
Do they like him? Like, do people that make the decisions, do they like Kelvin Johnson? Was he media friendly or was he a jerk like me that nobody likes? I mean, like, what was he?
We should mention a couple things that you can't really hold against him. He obviously played on a team that didn't win, but it's a dependent position. And look, unless you're Barry Sanders or somebody like that, it's a little different for the Detroit Lions.
Yeah, it's
Lions.
Just a weird – it's weird when it comes to the Hall of Fame stuff.
And he
clearly,
the
man,
early.
The dude was ridiculous. There's not even a question.
It was disgusting.
They had to vice him with two guys. And that means like two guys on him. They double him at the line of scrimmage, not over the top and the guy in front of him. They took like he was a punt dude, like he was a gunner on punt. They put two dudes in front of him. I've never seen that in the NFL. In college football, I've seen it many times. But in the pros, I've never seen where they take two defensive backs and say, no matter what, you're not getting off the line of scrimmage. Mm.
He also left the game early. That's one thing we have to kind of keep in mind. Now, he did that on his own volition. I think he, like many people, like Barry, actually.
Man, he got tired of getting beat up and losing.
Correct. And that's just something I wanted to keep in mind, because when you look at his dazzling statistics, a 6-time Pro Bowler, a 3-time All-Pro, and I think most people that watch football know the All-Pro is the real one there. Pro Bowl is Pro Bowl. But he walked away.
Yeah, that's true. Right? That's true. It's true. I was going to say, when he played, Pro Bowl was more real Pro Bowl than it is now.
Right.
Now you can
alternate.
Be like the 12th alternate and you're a Pro Bowler.
Right. You get that incentive, though.
You don't think him leaving the game early would be used against him, right?
No, I just think if there was any doubt, it just sort of, I think that has to be taken into account because the numbers are so prolific. Imagine what they could have been.
Yeah, they could have been. Well, you look at a guy like Terrell Davis that had a short stint as a powerful back in Denver, but he won 2 championships, and he was the reason that the Denver Broncos, Zubin knows because he was in Denver covering it.
Right.
He was the main reason that they won those 2 championships. I know a lot of people want to give John Elway the credit, but Terrell Davis, if it wasn't for Terrell Davis, the Denver Broncos probably don't win those 2 Super Bowls.
Think about this for a second.
And he had a short window of success in a short period of time, much like Kelvin Johnson, but he got the championships.
Indeed. And TD, we should mention, is in the Hall of Fame, but he had to wait. He was not clearly a guy that got in. He had to wait a long time, hold his breath on Super
but
Bowl
weekend.
But
does it really, I guess, I don't know. My personality is different. I'm like, I'm in. I don't care when I get in. Me and you, we on the same damn wall.
We got a gold jacket, we got a bust.
Yeah, we got a bust, we got a gold jacket. Your jacket got a little more stains on it. Mine's a little newer because yours is older.
Two other things to quickly keep in mind with regards to TD and that how it works out with Calvin Johnson. Calvin walked away healthy. I'm sure if he was on the show, or maybe we can get him on the show, he talks about how he can wake up and do anything he wants.
Yes.
TD essentially was forced to retire with injuries. And to your point on the Broncos, and this really sometimes is what's the catapulting moment? He was great in the Super Bowl 2,000-yard guy. Think about this. They always say this in Denver. Elway couldn't win until he met Mike Shanahan. Mike Shanahan couldn't win until he had John Elway. Neither won until they found Terrell Davis.
Mm.
Think about that for a second.
So they started to look at all of those sort of things with Kelvin. Megatron was crazy. Megatron almost had 2,000 yards receiving, man. That's like, man, that's hard as hell to do. I played the position. And when you are a targeted guy like him, meaning the defense is trying to take you away, that's like Westbrook, when he was going for all them triple-doubles and setting the record, the defense is taking away, and I'm still cooking.
Key, from an inside perspective, what made him so unique?
Well, he was big and fast.
But like something that the common fan wouldn't know, that you know as a wide receiver, that you saw him do, you're like, damn.
Just, man, I can't talk about him without talking about his size and his athletic ability, how fast he was. He was big. Like, he's bigger than me and faster. And I cooked when I was in the league. Imagine his size and his speed and high point in the ball. He was monkey manning dudes out there going and getting it. He was different. He was a different dude, period. Like Moss, different. Those dudes are different.
Think about this. He had a 1,000-yard receiving season multiple times, of course. He had an 1,100-yard receiving season, a 1,200-yard receiving season, a 1,300-yard receiving season, a 1,400-yard receiving season, a 1,600-yard receiving season, and to Key's point, nearly at 2,000 yards in 2012 when he caught 122 balls for 1,964 yards.
Come on, man. I mean, what was that average? What was the average on that 2,000 The year he almost got to 2,000. Is it an average there?
Yeah, sure. The average was, let's see, I will scroll. By the way, typical Lions, he only had 5 touchdowns that year.
But the touchdowns, people not going to let you score in the red zone when you the guy. It's just they're going to put everybody up against you when you the guy. It's hard to score, man. People don't understand that.
122.8. Pretty good.
No. Average per catch.
Oh, per catch? Let's find out. Average per catch.
Average per catch was probably about 19.
17 and a half.
Wow.
Oh, no, excuse me. 16.1.
You know how hard it is, though? Wow. At 16 to get that. That's a first down and a half every time I touch the ball.
Right.
That's a first down and a half. That's why when people get to chopping and talking, it's like, man, you don't really understand. You have no idea how hard that is to do. So with all of those sort of things, you look at it and you say, okay, but I still don't think that from a first ballot standpoint, because of, and it's not all his fault. It's none of his fault. It's just, it's Detroit. You know, it's like a great player going to Cincinnati.
Dan Orlovsky couldn't make him better. Come on, Dan.
I don't know that Dan was the starter, was he?
His quarterbacks were Dan Orlovsky, John Kitna and Dante Culpepper.
Starter?
No, they just...
He was on the roster.
Yeah, on the roster. Oh, yeah. Oh,
well,
Evan just said. Wow, Evan. I'll say it. Evan
no.
said it. No. Okay.
No.
We need Dan here.
Orlovsky was a starter.
Dan was my guy.
Dan's my guy, too.
I didn't realize that he was a starter when they happened to them. I didn't realize that.
So you weren't going to say it, but you just said it.
No, I didn't.
Okay. But you kind of said it.
No, I didn't. I just said I didn't realize that he was a starter when they had the mishap. That's it.
That's messed up.
When they made NFL history?
See, now Zubin's giving more context to it. Or running out of the back of the end zone. But go ahead, Zubin. Okay, okay. That's my guy, man.
Dan's a man. That's my brother.
I created Come On Man with him running out the back of the end zone. Dan knows. He knows it's all fun, man. We can all joke about our careers. Jay says I run a 4.9. He missed free throws in a crucial Duke game. It happens. He still was a number 2 pick in the draft, and he national championship, and he stole a trophy from Carlos Boozer to be the Naismith Player of the Year.
I didn't steal it from him. We shared it. I just keep it at my house.
All right, just real quick. I mean, I have no idea after I repeat this sentence that Evan has put on the screen if Dan will join us on Monday or not, but we got plenty of days to smooth it out. Jared Allen, I also mentioned, he's on the ballot for the first time. He was among the group of defensive players that chased Dan out of the back of the end zone that day.
Oh, my God. Steven, you are on fire tonight.
Y'all better leave Dan alone, man. Dan gonna hate us. Oh, God. Good thing I don't have to see him this weekend because we're dark on NFL Live, so that's good.
Indeed. Still to come. From March Madness to Mohegan Madness, the college basketball season is here. Many want it delayed, but the number one proponent of saying it's gotta go now is joining us next.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Good morning. I'm Zubin Mehenti here with your SportsCenter update. The college football playoff rankings are out. Alabama, no surprise, is at number 1. Notre Dame at number 2, looking for their first national title since Tony Rice and the boys won it in 1988. Clemson is 3rd. Ohio State rounds out the top 4. Texas A&M just on the outside looking in at 5. They're one pace ahead of Florida. They have the head-to-head against the Gators. As you may know, the highest-ranked group of 5 team is Cincinnati. They are in 7th. NBA news, Bogdan Bogdanovic agreeing to a 4-year, $72 million contract with the Atlanta Hawks. He was a restricted free agent. Sacramento had a chance to match. They said, no, thank you. Our Bobby Marks, front office insider, tweeted the Atlanta Hawks have won the offseason for the Eastern Conference. And college basketball is back. We're going to talk to our Seth Greenberg, Jay's old partner from College Game Day. Here, Jay's fired up in just 1 minute. 2K Empire Classic tipping off tonight. Arizona State, Rhode Island, Villanova, Boston College at the 2K Empire Classic, as I mentioned, at the Mohegan Sun in Uncasville, Connecticut, benefiting the Wounded Warriors. And if you're looking forward to the Champions Classic, Duke, Kentucky, Kansas, and Michigan State, that will be played next Tuesday, and you can watch it on ESPN. SportsCenter is brought to you by Goodyear. Whether you're on the field or on the edge of your seat, Goodyear wants you to embrace the unexpected every upset, touchdown, or fourth quarter comeback, and let it move you. No matter what the season throws your way, Goodyear is here to help drive you forward. Goodyear, more driven. And it's a pleasure to be joined this morning on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line by one of the great college basketball analysts, and as I mentioned, Jay's old partner.
Seth Greenberg. What I said. That's why every time we had a conversation, Seth would get mad and start walking away. That's my guy.
Go for it. Reunited.
Seth, enough.
What is going on? Seth, enough already. I miss you, brother. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. Hanging in there. It's been a crazy, obviously, last 8 months. We've gotten to this point. I see you're back on the A-list with the gear, though.
Yes, now I can be a fan, whereas I don't have to be objective anymore. You know what I mean, Seth?
Getting the same package Boozer gets. That's very
Hey, you've been listening, Coach. That's great. I love it.
Don't listen to Key and all the Boozer reference. Boozer's my guy, though. You know what I'm saying. All right, so, Seth, let me kick things off by saying, what are you most excited for about this college hoop season?
To get it started, you think about when the season ended last year, Jay. Well, it was obviously so drastic and so quick that, you know, there were so many questions. Were we going to play college basketball? Could we have a season? Now that we have a season, the question is, will these games actually be played? So I think these guys, these players have been on campus since July. Since July. And now all of a sudden, you know, there were no scrimmages. There were no exhibition games. They finally get a chance to play games. It's a kind of a slice of normalcy for them in a very abnormal environment. So I think first and foremost, just that we're playing again. And then I think the next thing is, can these upper class teams, these veteran teams, these senior teams are going to have a huge advantage this year? The Wisconsins, the Villanovas, the Gonzagas, even the Illinois, because you know, Jay, as well as anyone, you don't know what you don't know. As good as some freshmen are, until they step on that court, it's a learning curve. So I'm just excited that we're back and playing and doing it in a safe manner. And understand, they're going to be roadblocks. They're going to be detours. They're going to be cancellations. It is what it is. Control our controllables. Understand that leadership from their head coaches is going to be imperative.
Seth, you know, when we were due College Game Day, I love that you always ask me questions about, Jay Will, what time's the bus coming? Jay Will, like, you guys are so prepared for everything. How do you prepare for the unpreparable, Seth? Like, what will head coaches, what would their styles be? How will they go with the ebb and flow of the season that's so unpredictable?
Yeah, I think the key will be how they go with the ebb and flow of the season. You can't get too high. You can't get too low. I mean, you know, it's you're in a situation where the pandemic can't define you and your team. All right. How you react to the pandemic will define you and your team. And I think you've really got to be consistent in terms of your messaging and your approach. And that is, be straight up with your guys. Understand, you know what? We're going to have situations where we're going to be ready to play a game and the other team's going to get a positive test. We're going to have situations where we're going to be ready to play a game and maybe an official has a positive test or an official can't get to the game because the week before, all right, they were with an officiating crew, Jay, that had someone who had a positive test. So because of contact tracing, every single one of those officials are going to be eliminated from the equation. So to me, it's consistent messaging. This is going to challenge the leadership of coaches. Because if they react, and Jay, you know this well, if they react to every time there's a pause, every time there's a contact tracing, every time a game is canceled or rescheduled, how's their team going to react? They're going to take on basically the personality of their head coach. So I think consistent leadership, being positive with your team, understanding to control your controllables, and move to the next play. You know, you're just going to have to put good days on top of each other. I mean, it sounds like a cliche, but that's the reality of 2020 in college basketball.
Coach Seth, you're a coach at heart. You know, tell me this. How difficult is it going to be to navigate your team and your program through these challenging times to win games?
It's going to be really difficult, Keith, because here's the thing. I mean, say you all of a sudden you have a positive result and you're shut down for 14 days. You're shut down for 14 days. You think about those players, I mean, and the isolation they're in. Now, when you come out of those 14 days, like UConn's coming out of a 14-day quarantine. Syracuse is coming out of a 14-day quarantine. When you get them back, how hard do you go? Well, if you go too hard, you're risking injury. How much do you give those teams? And then, you know, the uncertainty of now you're out of the quarantine. You've got to worry about, all right, do you prepare for the game? Do you prepare your team? So there are so many things that are going on during the course of the season, I think, that you're going to have to see coaches have everyone ready. I talked to Tom Izzo the other day, and he said, you know, most important thing is I got to have my whole roster ready because I don't know if someone can get injured. I don't know if someone's going to be eliminated because of a contact tracing. There are so many variables. Goes back to the same thing, messaging, being consistent, being real, being genuine, being honest with your team. You can't get too high. You can't get too low. You can't overreact because things are going to happen. It's not the pandemic. It's not that things are going to happen. It's how you react to those things. Your team will read you and play off of you. So this is going to challenge leadership to every single head coach. You've got to be able to be calm, collected. You've got to lead with your words. And most importantly, you've got to lead with your actions.
What underclassmen coach are you excited to see? Freshman, incoming freshman, underclassmen?
Yeah, two freshmen I'm excited. Scotty Barnes, talking to Leonard Hamilton and watching tape. He's a mixture of Magic Johnson and Scottie Pippen. 6'9", point forward, could initiate the fast break off a defensive rebound. He can post you up and score around the basket. He's an alert and active defender that can protect the rim finish. But here's the thing. Talking to Stan Jones, our assistant coach, he says he has a voice. And what I mean by that is he's a freshman that doesn't carry himself like a freshman. He missed a couple of days of practice because of injury. And he said he was as engaged in that practice as he would have been if he played. That's a freshman that's not afraid to use his voice. And then Cade Cunningham from Oklahoma State. He is really unique. A 6'6 point guard that can play off the bounce, get in the lane, read ball screens, knock down the three, an active and alert defender, finish at the rim. He takes Oklahoma State and makes them must-watch TV. I mean, he's a guy that changes the whole dynamic of your program. He's going to be here 7 months. He could have left. He could have went somewhere else when they went on probation. They are challenging that. Right now, they're eligible for the NCAA tournament until the ruling on their appeal comes out. But Cade Cunningham, that dude is special.
Seth, I'm looking at you here on the screen, man. You've lost a lot of weight. How many walks are you taking Jake the Wonder Dog on these days?
Jake the Wonder Dog only goes for two, but I'm going for about 14 a day. Actually, before I came in here this morning, I knocked out four at about 5:30. So I'm down 30 pounds.
Looking great, man. All right, last question I have for you, Seth. Who do you think is going to finish this year being National Player of the Year?
I got to go with my man Garzilla. I mean, like, the guy never takes a playoff. I mean, it's ridiculous. He plays as hard as any player in the country. He runs the floor. He's relentless on the grass. He reminds me of Tyler Hansbrough in that he plays to contact. He's also had the ability to step out and shoot the three. He's a relentless, fearless rebounder. He's a guy that comes at you every second of the game. All right, he runs the floor. He's attacking you on the glass. He's moving without the basketball. He'll short roll and make a play. And when he catches it in the post, all right, he's almost impossible to stop. A little bit awkward. Iowa, that's a team that can get to the Final Four. But you know what, Iowa? You want to get to the Final Four behind my man Garzilla? You got to guard someone. If they defend, Iowa's a team that can really get not only get to the Final Four, but win a national championship.
No question about it. That would be the great Luka Garza. For those that may not be familiar, Iowa looking for its first Final Four appearance in about 40 years when the late, great Lute Olson was manning the Hawkeyes. Two-part question, Seth. We're asking everybody this, a little side dish and a little dessert. First things first, stuffing or mashed potatoes?
Oh, stuffing, no doubt about it. But cream corn, man, you got to have cream corn.
Well, that's a good one. That's a good one. And here comes the controversial one this morning. We've been asking every guest, pumpkin pie or sweet potato pie? Be careful here.
Be careful here, Seth.
Pecan pie with vanilla ice cream. Come on, man. What are you guys kidding me? How can you not have pecan pie with a little vanilla ice cream? Warm it up a little bit. I'm not a pumpkin pie guy. I think this pumpkin spice thing, well overrated.
There you go.
Thank goodness Starbucks is not a sponsor of the show. So we can
pumpkin spice latte.
Breathe a sigh.
Only you would know about the pumpkin spice latte and me.
Say, well, you know me. No coffee anyway.
No coffee.
Strictly Diet Coke.
Keep on walking. You look great, Coach. Can't wait. College basketball back tonight. Champions Classic next week. Happy Thanksgiving.
See you Tuesday on air, Coach.
Stay well, guys.
All right, brother. Happy Thanksgiving.
That's well, great, at least Seth Coach Greenberg. Knew Carlos Boozer was better.
Oh, I mean. You're relentless.
real quick. Early this morning, the Browns were informed that a player has tested positive for COVID-19. They've closed the facility. Meetings are going to take place remotely as part of the NFL and NFLPA's intensive protocol, which basically ramps up all the protocols. They'll continue to consult with the league and medical experts on the appropriate next steps. This is just a statement the team has put out on health and safety of their players, coaches, staff, the entire Browns community, remaining their highest priority. They are going to be playing the Jacksonville Jaguars, at least for the moment.
Every week. I mean, it's going to happen every single week. So, you know, they're taking the necessary steps and precautions to make sure that everything is going to work out just fine. You can tell. And we'll see what happens. But every week, it's a team every week, right? This isn't the start of the football season. It's the end of the football season. So I'm not surprised.
I mean, look, you keep pushing through. I mean, you see the light at the end of the tunnel. The Browns have a chance to get that wild card. You take this for what it is, and you contact Trace, and you move forward.
Indeed. Last thing I would say is I think it's almost more surprising when we go through a day and don't get one, right? Yeah. Yeah, and that's kind of where we are. At
have
this
we gone through a day? That's a right? Point. Have any we gone through that, a day? It's
like any day that ends in Y, seemingly there is a positive test. On the way, the smart picks in sports, the smart picks in movies, and the smart picks for Key's Thanksgiving menu.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey, hold up.
Before I let you go.
One more thing before we let you go.
Are you a pumpkin pie person or a sweet potato pie person?
Is there a thing that's sweet potato pie?
Oh, my goodness! Heather did it! What is going on?
What do you
and
have for dessert?
The pumpkin pie with the Cool Whip. The Cool Whip on it.
Oh! Heather! No! Not the Cool Whip! We were bonding. We're so...
That was earlier this morning, Key, our college football playoff reporter, Heather Dinich, in. And essentially, Jay asked her pumpkin pie or sweet potato pie. We're asking everybody. She wasn't aware there was a sweet potato pie, but could be a regional delicacy. She is from...
Regional? Man, it's all over the world.
Well, she's from Maryland. You know, maybe it's...
And... You know? Uh-uh. No,
she's
I
mom
can't
of
give,
three.
I can't give Heather a pass on that one. No. Zoom in.
By the way, our poll results... We ask the hard-hitting questions like we always do on this program. If it is indeed sweet potato pie or pumpkin pie, and the overwhelming winner, Key, the overwhelming winner, pumpkin pie.
Yeah, well. You
so
know.
Heather wins there.
Yeah, well. Hey, man, I say this. I need to check their taste buds because I don't get it, but I get it. I understand. That's good, man.
More food for thought.
Won't be at my house, that's for damn sure.
Your Thanksgiving menu at your place is on the way in just one moment. First, let's check out the smart picks in sports and movies. Our smart picks in sports. Key, what are you keeping an eye on this weekend?
Well, I was hoping that the USC-Colorado game is still in question. USC had to close practice, so I was thinking USC. I was keeping an eye on that. But I'm going to watch this Notre Dame-North Carolina game. Mm-hmm. I really want to see what Notre Dame has because I know Mac Brown can coach. And I know they got a hell of a quarterback down there. And I know Notre Dame has Ian Book, but UNC is interesting. They can be, you know, as they say, a bracket buster type football team that's good, actually.
No question. Watch for that on your local ABC station here in a couple of days. The smart picks are brought to you by Redbox. I'm going to go with one that you're going to – I didn't talk to you about this, all right? So you were at SC in 95.
Yeah.
Right? So you were obviously keeping tabs on all the college football world. 25 years ago, Virginia played Florida State in one of the great college football games of the last 25 years. It was a Thursday night game. It was on ESPN. And they are playing again 25 years later. Again, Saturday night on the ACC network between those two great ACC schools. In 1995, if you're too young for this, you think Clemson has been dominating the ACC forever. Florida State was it. Florida State at that time in 1995 was 29-0. They had never lost a game in the ACC.
I remember that game. It was in Virginia, right?
Yes. Yeah, they went into Charlottesville, and Key's old teammate, do you remember who got the direct snap and got snuffed?
Warwick Dunn.
Warwick Dunn.
I remember watching that game.
And if you're watching this morning on ESPN News, we've got it for you. There it is, Warwick Dunn trying to get into the end zone to keep Florida State's national championship hopes alive. Virginia stuffs them. The Seminoles suffer their first loss ever in Atlantic Coast Conference play, and a quarter century later, Key, they're back on the field Saturday night.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to watch. It's not anything at stake there except, you know, the history of the game. There's no chance to get in any Final Fours or nothing like that. I'm sure it'll be an entertaining game.
Indeed. The smart pick on Redbox is Buddy Games, available today at Redbox, starring Josh Duhamel, Olivia Munn, Kevin Dillon, Neil McDonough, and Dax Shepard. Buddy Games is the hilarious story of six lifelong friends who reunite to compete in absurd physical and mental challenges with the chance to win $150,000. So smart picks this week, obviously, based on that, would be buddy movies. And we have a whole list of them. Bad Boys?
I've seen it.
The Friday Collection, Friday after next.
Seen them all. It's about time that we're talking about it.
It's just the worst. Getting fired on your day off. How much worse can it get? I mean, it's like a double whammy. The Hangover series, Mike Tyson.
It's always good.
Ken Jeong, our guy Ken Jeong.
Yeah, the last one, eh. You know, it's always as they go, they start to get a little weak. It was strong in the beginning, though.
Ken Jeong, big Duke fan, like Jay Will there. American Pie.
Funny.
Yes, it
yeah,
was.
Yeah, funny.
That was, if you're old enough.
What was it, McSlevin or whatever his name was?
Who was Sean William Scott?
Superbad.
Do you guys know? Stifler.
Stifler.
Stifler. Stifler. Sean William Scott was Stifler. Thank you, fellas. Ah, Dumb and Dumber, Daniels and Carrie.
Yeah, it was all right. It was really dumb is what it was.
Now, this is cool. Wedding Crashers.
I've done that before. I've been in not necessarily a wedding crasher, but more of a reception crasher. You're out, you're at a resort, you're having, then all of a sudden they want to invite you. Hey, come join us. You know, I've been in that one. I can watch that over and over again because it was funny and stupid at the same time.
That it was. Watch new movies and top entertainment, plus try free live TV on Redbox with over 80 channels of news, TV shows, viral videos, and more. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. What's on the Key Thanksgiving menu?
Well, I would say let's start with the meats. Obviously, there's going to be a turkey. There's going to be ham. I always make beef. So I'll have fillets, then the veggies. I'll have broccoli and cauliflower mix. I'll have green beans. I'll have some cabbage and collard greens, hot water cornbread, vegan cornbread for the family. I'll have macaroni and cheese. Won't forget that ever. Here's an interesting, I hated Brussels sprouts as a kid, but since I've learned how to cook, I really know how to cook them now. I drop some roasted almond slivers in there, along with some cranberry, some maple syrup, stick it in the oven, and then obviously desserts.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, or wherever you stream your audio.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.